Well, he's a very good sport, is Luke Coomey. He represents the South Australian Racehorse Owners, and of course, with the big events in Sydney this time of the year, most of the organisations organise their meetings for Sydney, and I believe Luke is just back from over there with a national owners meeting. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, listeners.
What was the atmosphere like in Sydney? A bit of excitement with the big racing coming up over the next few weeks?
Yes, in Sydney, of course, you're sort of a long way from the racing when you're in the city and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But we had an ATROC meeting yesterday, which was the National Owners Training Owners Association meetings,
mm-hmm.
and we have two of those a year, and they're always timed to be the day before Derby Day in November in Melbourne, and the day before the championships begin in Sydney, so it was very good. I unfortunately had to come back, but could have had tickets to go to the championships, which would have been very nice.
Yeah.
Bit of excitement around, things are building up there as well, and everyone's looking forward to the next few weeks.
What can you tell us about the agenda for yesterday's national meeting?
We had a fairly quiet agenda, to be quite honest, but the two main issues were Racing Australia's continued to modify the standard trading agreement, we think that they took on board some of the issues that we had raised about it,
yes.
Mainly to do with, part owners and the co-owners agreement where, we didn't want to have minority ownership sort of holding up what happened to a horse, and if there was a dispute, or
yes.
if one of the minor partners were paying their bills and so forth, it was open for trainers and so forth to take actions and stop the horse racing under those circumstances. But that's been tidied up, and now it needs a majority of over 50% to be delinquent payers for that to happen, and some other co-owner agreements regarding sale of horses and so forth. You had to have 75% agreement by the owner. So we think that was a good step, and it tidied up a few of the things that were a bit grey in the STA.
Well, let's concentrate on a couple of issues there. At one stage, they were wanting owners to give their credit card numbers to trainers. So have you been successful in having that removed?
Yeah, we killed that
right.
Off very badly. And in fact, the whole upshot of that, it started off mainly to be what was known as a payment mandate to be able to for trainers to be able to take their
money straight out of your bank account.
Straight out of your account. But we successfully argued that, and that brought all owners around Australia together against that one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was scotched. But the good thing that came out of it was a standard training agreement, which is very fair to both parties, both owners and trainers.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very happy with it. And it did take away a lot of the issues that we had with the ATA contract. So that's given us the opportunity to say to owners now, you don't need to sign any supplementary contracts with your trainer. The standard training agreement is good enough, and if your trainer insists on you signing something else, then make sure you check every clause that they want to add or change, and insist that you will only agree to those clauses that you're comfortable with, because otherwise the trainers have bought out another contract, and it does contain some of the clauses in it that we didn't like from the old one, so
right.
Especially the one to do with negligence and public liability.
Yeah, and they're major issues, particularly in light of the Aquinita situation. Who knows where that will end? I guess they won't disqualify horses from races, will they, because they don't have actual positive swabs. They only have hearsay. But if the potential was there to go back and rearrange race results, then that's going to affect owners as well as trainers.
Well, that's right. If they can look under the rules of racing, of course, if they identify a particular horse went to the races and it was not drug free or had bicarbonate over the allotted levels.
Yeah, they're not really going to know that, though, are they?
No, well, we don't know too much about it. But look, they've laid 115 charges in one area, and I think total charges are 200 and something. So they'd have to have some evidence about something.
Yes.
So anyway, it'd be very interesting to see what happens with that.
All right. Now, on the other issue of group owners, that's probably where there's great potential for conflict. When you've got a lot of people involved in a horse, some want to sell, some don't. Disputes like that can get a bit nasty. So you've now got, a 75% agreement. Is that how it will work?
Yes, that's right. Under the co-owners agreement, there has to be in certain, let's say, major decisions, there has to be a 75% agreement of owners for that to occur, and some other day-to-day things, then it has to be 50%. And in syndicates or where you have a managing owner who does everything for you, then once again there has to be a meeting called to resolve an issue before it can proceed in any direction. And then, depending on the type of decision it is, it has to be either 50% or 75% of the ownership.
Right.
So it's tidied a lot out, yes.
And needed to be because, in the past there have been some scandalous things happen where people have horses sold without their knowledge, etc.
Well, yes. In fact, there was a case in Queensland recently where one minor owner took everyone else to court because she didn't agree with the horse being sold.
Mm-hmm.
And although the court eventually ruled that, there was a 50% of the owners wanted it sold, so she was outvoted. But the issue was that a meeting wasn't called so that they could discuss it on the basis that, an owner who may have an opposite view to the majority may be able to convince some of the people to change their views.
And they may also want to have their say about the price that's agreed to as well.
All those things, yes. Mm. So I think they've added in that there has to be some sort of dispute resolution before, if there is a dispute, of course, before these things proceed, yeah.
All right. So that was one of the issues talked about.
The other one was an interesting one. Racing New South Wales has introduced, and though it doesn't affect anyone else in Australia at the moment, it has introduced a local rule. I think it's 114. Now, this local rule basically relates to how horses are disposed of at the end of their racing lives.
Right.
And how they're treated during their racing lives, which, of course, there are already rules about. But a disposal after the racing life, the owner or the trainer, whoever has control of the horse, has to try and make reasonable efforts to make sure their horse will go to someone who will look after them and house them in a manner that is approved by Racing New South Wales.
Right, you'd hope that would be done every time, but...
Well, you do that, but of course it now extends the owner, so previously, you could give your horse to someone, or you could sell the horse to someone who's going to use it for equestrian pursuits or whatever. You didn't have to go out and check the property and make sure that the horse would be well looked after and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, people looking after horses in those pursuits do look after the horses very well.
Yes.
But now the onus is on the owner or the trainer when they leave their premises and go off to another owner. But the difficulty with that, of course, is that how far and how long do you have to trace how that horse is being looked after and treated? And of course, the other issue is that once you sell a horse to a person outside of the racing industry,
no control.
That person is no longer under the control of Racing Australia, or Racing New South Wales in this case. So therefore, what can you do? It's a bit like, you know, people might give their dog away or whatever. You know, you can't then demand how they're treated. It's going to be difficult, and I think it requires a bit more thought and a little bit more control. But the other thing that's happening with raising New South Wales is if you try and give your horse away and you can't find a home for it, then you can possibly take it to the new rehoming properties being developed by Racing New South Wales, and then they can take control of it, and they will, you know, look after it and also, you know, find a home for it. And
at a cost? At a cost to the owner?
At this point, it's a cost to the industry. There's no discussion about cost. But, of course, interesting, we can quote and say, well, it's only in New South Wales and we don't need to worry about that. But, of course, two things. New South Wales has a substantial say in what happens with Racing Australia.
Correct.
And I'm sure that they might bring it up. And other states may feel that they need to follow suit as well.
I'm sure it's there because of the antis. It closes off an area that they think racing could be vulnerable, and they might attack racing on that basis. But if you're seen to be responsible and you take every care once the horse has finished racing, that's an area they really can't attack you on.
Yeah, so look, I did bring that up as that I thought it was, it was a window dressing to some extent.
Yeah, it is.
But the thing is that I think the good thing that comes out of it is that it focuses people's sight on the fact that they can't just give their horse away or send it to the auction and then forget all about it. They've got to make some effort to make sure. The other important part of the New South Wales thing is no horse can be euthanized without the approval of Racing New South Wales.
Is that right?
Unless it's an emergency.
I see.
A vet certifies it.
So if a horse is an unsafe ride for a lay person, you'd still need Racing New South Wales permission.
Yes, that's correct. And you can't send it to
an abattoir?
Sale yard.
Okay.
You can't send it to abattoirs. And you can't send it to a sale yard unless it's a sale approved by Racing New South Wales. So that means the, sort of, you'd say, the mainline auction houses.
Yes.
And the grey area there is that once you send a horse to be auctioned, the auctioneer takes control of that horse. So they're going to have to be careful who they sell it to. So they can't be selling to any abattoir operators who...
Which does happen. I mean, every sale there are old mares or whatever that are bought by one particular identity in Adelaide, and you know where they're heading.
Yes, that's correct. So
interesting times.
That will be another issue that will arise. So I think it's something that needs to be well controlled and well balanced, because we don't want to have, you know, horses languishing out in paddocks.
No.
Because, you know, everyone thinks that a horse, you put it out in a paddock with grass, it's fine. But, you know, racehorses haven't grown up looking after themselves.
No.
And you know...
They've been pampered all their lives.
Themselves. Yes, they can hurt themselves and no one will ever find them. They won't...
Yeah.
You know, they don't do well in a paddock for long periods sometimes. So... You know, we need to keep control of them. We need to look out for them. But as long as they go somewhere where, you know, most people try to send them to a good home, and often they end up with a nice young lady or person who rides them and looks after them and pampers them. And, you know, if you make a bit of effort to find them a good home, usually you're successful, because the numbers of people who actually have recreational riding and so forth are far, far in greater numbers than racehorse ownership, and and we supply a lot of the horses for their pursuits.
Yeah, you get it, go down south or you go up north any Saturday morning and you'll pass vehicles with horse floats where they're going to shows and pony club and whatever else, I'm sure you're right about that.
Well, the weekends and in the Adelaide Hills.
Yes.
There's pony clubs everywhere and horses and
the show circuit. The show circuit moves all around.
Yes.
Well, Luke, I think you've given us a bit of a snapshot of the future there.
Yes, I think so.
It'll eventually come to SA, I'm sure. Our lives are now being regulated by councils and governments, etc. So why should racing be protected?
Yes, it's a sad thing, but
it is.
I suppose it's the times we live in, and we just have to move with it.
Yeah, they want to tell you when you can blow your nose these days. Luke, good to catch up with you.
Thanks, Ray.
And will you have a runner over the carnival here, the Festival of Racing?
Well, I have got a three-year-old who's been having his first start in a couple of Wednesday week,
mm-hmm.
And he's showing a little bit of promise, so I'm hoping that he will progress through to the maybe one of the nicer three-year-old races during the carnival. So, yes, we're always hopeful, and hope springs eternal, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got rose-coloured glasses myself, yeah.
Oh, very good.
Thank you very much, Luke.
All the best.
Yeah, Luke Kumi there reporting in on the National Racehorse Owners Meeting.